the recorder going, I'll let you know. We are now recording.
Okay, it's July the 26th. I'd like to call this session of the State Board of Technical Registration into session. Kirk, can you do a roll call, please? Mr. Or is that Hayden these days?
Mr. Gilmore?
Present, sorry.
Mr. Kolepka? Mr. Sales?
Present.
Mr. Nesgood?
Present. This call is now being recorded.
Dr. Campbell?
Present.
Ms. Hobick? Ms. Lindgren? Ms. Skanky?
Here.
Mr. Wilson?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Thank you. We'll now do a call to the public. Members of the public may address the board during this call of the public for no more than 3 minutes. Pursuant to ARS 38431-01H, the board members are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public, unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. However, board members may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be placed on a future agenda. Anyone wishing to address the board? Kurt, any call-ins?
Not for this item, though.
Okay, let's move on to the adoption of minutes. As board members had a chance to review last month's minutes and can get a motion thereof.
Mr. Chair, I would submit a proposal to approve the minutes from last month.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have several seconds. Great. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, we have a consent agenda, items 5A1 through 5A7. Julie's done a great job on the review. Any board members have discussion on any of these items? Okay, then the chair will entertain a motion to approve item on the consent agenda for items 5A1 through 5A7.
Making a motion for all of the consent agenda.
Yeah, 5A1 through 5A7, yeah, that's the entire consent agenda. Is there a motion to accept the consent agenda?
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second? Thank you, Ms. Denke. All those in favor of accepting the consent agenda, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Great, thank you. Okay. I think we'll move on to, we're going to jump out of order here and take item 8A.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do have our legal counsel, Greg Harris, present.
Mr. Harris, please come forward.
Good morning.
Identify yourself, please, and I understand you have a synopsis to share with us.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much, Greg Harris, from the law firm of Lewis, Rocha, Lothgrover, Christie. Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for inviting me to be here to brief you on an update on the litigation that Greg Mills has brought against the board. I guess what I'd like to do is talk briefly about the argument that occurred before the Supreme Court on June 30th. And then if you have questions, we mean that they may trigger a conversation and for my need to give you some legal advice. And so we may need to go into executive session, or you may want to go into executive session. So let me just start with a public piece, which will be short. And then you may ask some questions, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
Very good, thank you.
All right, very good. So thank you. So when we last met in the spring, I had briefed you and I had the chance to provide you with information about the fact that the Supreme Court had accepted review of the case. And so by way of background, Mr. Mills brought his lawsuit in December of 2019. The Superior Court granted our motion to dismiss in May of 2020. The order became final in August of 2020. An appeal was brought to the Court of Appeals, and that the Court of Appeals takes those appeals as of right, and so they take every case that comes before them. And oral argument on that case took place on June 1 of 2021. And the decision came out in August of 2021. And the court ruled unanimously in sustaining the trial court decision to dismiss the case because of the grounds that we raised, that he had not exhausted his administrative remedies, the matter wasn't right. We raised a number of other procedural issues. A petition for review was filed in the Supreme Court in the late fall, and that review is discretionary. The court accepted review in January or February of this year, and oral argument took place on June 30th of this year. And the argument proceeded. There were only five of the judges present. Two of them were absent because, or were not present in the courtroom because they had COVID. They were participating, they were listening in on the oral argument, but weren't there. What was remarkable about the proceeding before the Supreme Court on June 30th was that the judges are able to ask questions. Mr. Mills' lawyer, he didn't get very far into his argument, didn't get all the way through the argument. He had intended to save 5 minutes at the end of his argument. He ended up saving 40 seconds because the court had so many questions for him. John Gray, who is also with my office, made the argument in front of the Supreme Court. I don't think he got two sentences into his delivery before the questions started from him. They were very focused on issues presented by the case, and they've taken the matter under advisement. We don't have any idea what the court's decision will be. There's no specific timeline for the court to issue its decision. If looking at the decisions, your executive director said, okay, Greg, how long is it going to be before the court issues its decision? And I did my best imitation of a person who knew how to intelligently answer the question and say, I don't know, but I told her I wasn't sure. I looked back and looked at the cases that were pending before the court. They're generally issuing their decisions between 3 and 6 months after argument, but unlike you may have heard from your lawyer about what happens in Superior Court, the Supreme Court doesn't have a 60-day deadline from when the case is at issue, and so they actually, from when I looked last, they had one case from 2020 that was still under review. They had a handful of cases from 2021 that were still under review, but they've already issued, at this point of the year, cases that were heard at the beginning of 2022. So anywhere, I imagine, between September and December of this year, we'll see the decision point. And so I think the question that I got when I got back to my office, the question I got when I got home, the question that I got from Judith right after the argument was, what's going to happen? My answer to that is, I don't know. So I'd be prepared to have a discussion for what those options might be and what your next steps would be in a closed session, because you may ask questions that may delve into litigation strategy, but I'll stop there and see if there are any questions that I can answer. Mr. Chair, other members of the board?
The difficult thing at this point is that it is speculation. Greg can outline possibilities of the way things could go, but
different scenarios.
Right.
Was anybody from NCES there in CARP?
Virtually, yeah.
Okay.
And many virtual participants.
Okay.
But
Mr. Harris?
Mr. Skanky was present. Can I just say, sorry, Stacy? I'm so sorry. Trying to be formal, can I just say Stacy? Stacy was present, and Kurt and Hayden and myself were present physically there.
Ms. Harris?
There were, in addition to the briefs that we filed and the brief that Mr. Mills filed, there was an additional amicus brief filed by the Goldwater Institute and a separate amicus brief that was filed by NCARB, NCES, and I think Clark together filed a brief. The law firm of Stella Ulmer filed that brief on behalf of those groups.
That's right.
But the arguments were presented just by counsel for Mr. Mills and by your lawyer.
And you reviewed those other briefs?
We did.
Okay.
But so we had the chance to read them after they were filed.
So provided, if we get a decision that is in favor of Mr. Mills, do we know what will happen, like immediately what the after effects are for this board, or will there be any?
We don't know what that would be. I mean, there are a couple of different possibilities about what that outcome could be. They could anywhere from on a narrow issue, send it back to the trial court and say, you didn't look at this issue and we want you to go back and look at this issue, the record wasn't developed, to a more broadly stated opinion. And any of them will require some other analysis, but I would say, and I've had this conversation with your executive director, with Judith, that all of life is a learning experience, and even if the court sustains the decisions that have previously been made, there are still things that we can learn about how this case went forward, and I've provided some input, and I'd welcome a chance to provide further input to the board about that as well.
That would probably involve an executive session, though, wouldn't it?
I'm sorry?
Would that involve an executive session?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some things that we could talk generally about, but I mean, I think there are also some issues about steps that you might take, options that you have, and what are the ramifications of what those steps. But I'd be happy to provide that advice, either in writing or otherwise, to the board and to board staff.
Okay, board, you want to go into executive session? You have more questions for Mr. Harris, or you want to let him maybe provide some overview, written? A preference?
I'm good because I feel like I kind of understand the possibilities, but if people want to get more information, I'm,
And I'm not meaning to make this difficult. I'm just wanting to make sure that if we have that conversation, we can have the full and frank conversation and not be concerned about your sharing outside of the boardroom things that don't need to share.
Will the court give you any notification that a decision is coming forth? Any advance warning, or is it just up here?
We get 24 hours notice.
That's it.
They'll send an email out to tell us that the next day a decision is coming. And then counsel will get the decision maybe about an hour before it's released to the public. So I think Judith may have signed up to subscribe to the opinions when the notice is coming out. So Judith will she will call me and say, "What is this case right now?"
I might have to redo that. I was watching it diligently, waiting to see if it would be heard or what was going to happen. I'll have to watch again for the outcome.
Yeah, I did not attend, but I watched and I reviewed the video like 3 or 4 times just to try and catch some of the stuff I missed. Fascinating discussion. And some of the questions surprised me from the court, from the justices. But yeah, I think that discussion could have gone on before the court for another hour or two. All those issues that I was hoping might have been raised, but that's another discussion.
Well, we spent a lot of time getting ready and had a lot of time prepping for the trial court argument, a lot of time prepping for the Court of Appeals argument. John did a fine job in representing you at the Supreme Court. He was ready for issues that really showed his attention to this matter, and he deserves a lot of praise for the work that he did.
It is the fastest 20 minutes you can imagine. And with all the questions that were coming up quickly,
Okay.
You did a great job.
Mr. Chair, I guess I would propose to go to executive session to discuss a little bit further about options, possibilities, this and that.
Okay. That requires a motion.
Yes.
So you need, I think, in the motion to cite 431.03 and 0.04 to seek legal advice about pending litigation.
Look at your agenda number 8.
Just zooming in there so I can.
And it's agendized that way. Yeah. So to go into executive session for legal advice.
Mr. Chair, I'd propose to go into enter executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 and ARS 38-431.03A3 to receive legal advice on agenda items.
Is it
A3 or
A4?
It
must be A4, actually.
There we go. Let me start that over if I could, Mr. Chair.
Certainly.
I'd motion to enter executive session pursuant to 431.03A2, ARS 38-4.
A3 and A4.
Okay, I was going to say A3 and A4 for discussion with attorneys related to item 8A on the agenda.
Very good. All those in favor, please say aye.
Second.
Oh, I'm sorry. We need a second.
I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Tinky. All those in favor of going to the executive session, please say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Okay. We have a unanimous vote there.
Okay, so board members, if you would please follow Kurt into that room, out the door there immediately to your left.
Okay.
For those on the phone and in the audience, the board members are now going into an executive session in a separate room. So we'll be doing any business in the public until they come back from executive session. So please just hold on.
We are now recording.
Okay. We're technical review or board tender registration back in session. We've just come back from the executive session. I want to thank Mr. Harris for coming in and sharing information on the status of the case with the board members. And we'll look forward to further discussions as decisions come forth. But thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. Good to see you all.
Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Stay healthy.
Thanks.
Okay. I think we are ready for enforcement matters. We'll start with the state.
6A1. I do see Seth Hargraves on mine is our IA.
That's going to be my question.
Mr. Hargraves, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Great, thank you. Okay, this first item is 6A1, a matter involving Tammy Adams. And we'll let Ms. Ray, Dini Ray.
Dini Ray, appearing for the state. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So with regard to Ms. Adams, we have achieved service by serving her aunt, and she has not responded to the amended complaint and notice of hearing in a timely manner. So under ARS section 32-128F, I'm asking that you find the allegations deem the allegations admitted and the allegations as stated in the amended complaint and notice of hearing. It's pretty straightforward. Ms. Adams forged a professional seal of John Evans on three separate occasions. I'm sorry, it's actually Mr. Litchfield's seal that she forged. Ronnie Litchfield.
Right.
And I would suggest that Ms. Adams is deserving of the maximum penalty on each one of these violations, which would be $2,000.
Do we have anyone representing the respondent? Okay. Ms. Ray, does that complete your argument?
Yes, unless you have questions.
Board members, have any questions regarding this? Okay, the state's given their argument, and there is no respondent to make a presentation, so we can go right to a motion. At this time, the board will deliberate and rule on the state's motion. We can begin with general discussion or move to motions. the first motion will be to determine whether to grant the state's motion to deem the allegations admitted. So you can move to accept the board's motion to deem, and that would be the first vote. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay, there is a motion to
accept the state's
deem the allegation, to deem allegations admitted by the state. So is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor of accepting a motion to deem allegations as submitted, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Thank you. The board has deemed the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted. Is there a motion to adopt the factual allegations and the alleged violations from the complaint and notice of hearings as findings of fact and conclusions of law? This motion will adopt the factual allegations and the allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law. So that is the motion. Can I get someone to make the motion?
I'll move.
Okay. We have a motion.
I'll second.
To adopt the factual allegations and the allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law. And we have a second to that. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Okay. Next item on this is the discipline. The final issue for determination is the appropriate discipline based on the findings of fact and the conclusions of law we have adopted. We will allow the parties to briefly address the issue. First, the state and then the respondent. Ms. Ray?
As I indicated earlier in my argument, I think that Ms. Adams is guilty of fraud, basically, and that the maximum penalty should be imposed. There's nothing else you can do. She's a non-registrant, so it's not like you can suspend her or do anything like that. So the only thing you can do is impose a $2,000 penalty. I recommend that you impose a $2,000 penalty on each violation, so for a total of $6,000. There is one other matter that I'll bring up at this point, even though you're not considering this, but at some point I need to have your permission to vacate the hearing at the Office of Administrative Hearings. So. But that's all I have to say on the disciplinary portion.
Does it move on to the Attorney General's Office for Prosecution at this time? Does this move on to the...
No, you would, if you impose fines, board staff would try and collect them. They probably will not be able to do so. And then it will go to collections, and then it goes to the Attorney General's Office. But not for prosecution,
okay.
For collections. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thank you. So there is a recommendation from the state that fines be imposed at $2,000 per violation. There's a total of three for $6,000. Can we make the same motion to vacate at this time, or does that have to be a separate motion?
Sorry, Seth.
Okay.
Sure. This is Seth Hargreaves, independent advisor. You could make that all part of one motion. I would recommend, just for clarity, though, that if you are going to accept the state's recommendation for the maximum penalty of $2,000 per violation, as part of the motion, you may want to include a time frame in which that payment needs to be made. I don't know what you typically do, whether, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, or whatever. I would just recommend some type of clarity, and that way, once that time frame runs, then there would be, then there's kind of a triggering point to refer it for collections. So that recommendation, and you can include your vacating the hearing as all part of one motion.
Okay. Mr. Hargraves?
I have a question. Does the state wish to have the cost of investigation also included?
Yeah, actually, that is a good recommendation. But I don't know what it is at this point.
We can add that to the motion, whatever that
amount is. You could add it to the motion, yes.
Okay.
In my opinion.
So the motion as it stands right now, there's three violations, and the recommendation is we maximize the penalty at $2,000 per violation for a total of $6,000, and add in the cost of investigation that, Ms. Ray, you can provide staff?
I can provide them my hours, but there's also the investigatory hours, which I don't know, so that would have to be determined at a later time.
Okay, but that can be part of the same motion, right? And then the final portion of this motion is to vacate the hearing and then ask for a, is a 90-day appropriate?
It's fine with me. That's entirely up to you.
What do we normally do? 30, 60, 90, what is there?
Obviously, she's probably not going to respond, so.
Probably not.
So even 60 or.
Giving her more time is probably not going to matter, in my opinion.
I agree.
But I guess if there's a history of what we typically do, I'd like to know what that is.
It's very subjective, though, based on the condition of the respondent and how much the fees are and so forth.
So there's not really a history of.
The only issue so far is that she's not communicating with anybody and avoiding
service. No, she is
service.
Not. She's avoiding process. You know, mostly my position on that is that the sort of typical thing is 30 days. That's what I see. But
it is kind of a higher amount, so maybe.
We can split the difference and go with 60 days. Board, any preference? Okay.
60.
Very good. We have a motion for $6,000 in penalties, cost investigation. That amount is to be determined. And then we're going to vacate the hearing. All those in favor of, I need a motion to that effect, please.
And payment within 60 days, correct?
And payment within 60 days. Thank you, Mr. Hargraves.
Mr. Chair, so motion.
Okay, we have a motion. Thank you, Mr. Sales. On the $6,000 penalty, the cost investigation will vacate the hearing and ask for a payment within 60 days from today's date. All those, we have a second, please.
I'll second it.
Second. Thank you, Mr. That's good. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of saying of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. I think that takes care of 6A.
Just one clarification. It wouldn't be 60 days from today's date. It would be 60 days from the date of the order.
And the order is dated?
It'll be drafted, and once it's mailed out, that it'll be 60 days from the date of the final order.
Okay. Clear, staff? Very good. All right. Thank you, Mr. Hargraves. So 6B2, we're going to combine this with 6B2, 6A, or 7,
E
and F are all kind of tied together. Ms. Ray, can you share the history on this case, please?
Well, let me start with 6B. In this case, P22010, which I call the Hain case, and you know, if you need to refer to my motion, it does set out what we are asking for pretty clearly. The Hain case went to the board in May of this year, and the board ordered that it proceed to an administrative hearing. And in my opinion, and probably in the opinion of the investigatory staff, Mr. Rame is here as well if you need to ask him questions, because he's the one that's currently involved in investigating these cases. The board does not have the power to deal with Mr. Padilla in a way that he needs to be dealt with. You don't have the power to stop what he's doing. You've done everything that you can do. You've taken him to hearing in the past. There's been an injunction issued, which hasn't been able to be served because he avoids process. We did submit two cases for prosecution, and one of those was filed in Pinal County. The other one was not, and that is the subject of another part of today's motion. But what we're asking for with regard to the Hain case is that you rescind the order to go to administrative hearing and you approve submission of the case to the appropriate prosecutorial agency for criminal prosecution. The case that was submitted to Pima County Attorney's Office is the Stanerson case, and that's 20P20016. And Pima County has not done anything with that case. It's a very good case in terms of showing kind of fraud and schemes, because Mr. Padilla has a history of taking money for services that he does not render. I'm asking on the Stanerson case that you allow the staff to reopen that for the purpose that you administratively reopen it so that the staff can conduct an updated investigation and that we can resubmit that case to the appropriate prosecutorial agency for criminal prosecution. And in this particular instance, the intent is to submit it to the Attorney General's Office Criminal Prosecution Unit rather than Pima County, because the Attorney General has jurisdiction over the entire state. And Mr. Padilla's activities span more than one county. So we feel that that would be the appropriate prosecutorial agency, but I don't want to tie the staff to that in case something else happens. So in the Stanerson case, we were asking you to administratively reopen it and allow the board staff to update the investigation and resubmit the case for prosecution. The third case that I'm asking about is the Aguirre case, which is P23002, and I'm just asking that you approve submitting that case for prosecution as well. It's currently under investigation. You haven't made any other prior rulings on that case. It was just opened. And I just would like it if you would order the board staff to submit it for criminal prosecution. And my final request is that rather than administratively close these cases, if you could leave them administratively open, that would allow the board to take whatever action may be necessary in the future, because Mr. Biddy is difficult to deal with.
Do we do all four at once? Do we do separately?
Chairman Gilmore, this is Seth Hargraves. Given that you've got three separate cases and it looks like there's different actions being recommended for each, it may be best to take them separately so that way it's clear what the specific action is on each case. Because I know one has been set for hearing, so... and the request is to kind of rescind the vote to hearing. One case has to do with reopening and possibly doing further investigation. So in order to keep things straight and the specific actions for each case, I would recommend that you take each case separately.
Okay.
All right. If I could add to that, in each one of these cases, a part of that motion, if you grant what we're requesting, is to submit the cases for prosecution.
Right. And that's all three of those.
That's every one of them.
Yeah. All right.
I'll just read. I'll make a motion to rescind the order to go to administrative hearing in what Ms. Ray refers to as the Hain case, P22-10, and and to approve submission of this case to the appropriate prosecutorial agency for prosecution, for criminal prosecution.
Very good. Okay, we have a motion. Can I get a second?
And do you want to make it clear that you can leave the case open in what I believe was it like administrative status, or that way that's clear as well?
Sure, we can do it with each motion, or can we do it at the end with one motion?
I think each motion.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So in addition to that, we'd like to also leave the case administratively open to allow the board and board staff to take any other necessary actions.
Well, perfect. Great. We have a motion for, this is P22010. Can I get a second to that motion?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Denke. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Let's do a
P22016, right?
P216, Anderson.
Yes. P20016.
Yes, sorry. P20016.
I'll do it again since I have the page open. I move to reopen the Stanerson case, P20-016, for the purpose of conducting an updated investigation and resubmission of the case to the appropriate prosecutorial agency for criminal prosecution, and to leave this case administratively open to allow the board and board staff to take any other necessary actions.
I like that. Very good. Is there a second to that motion, please?
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a first and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, this is next one's going to be P23002.
I will move to approve the investigation of the Aguirre case, P23-002. For the purpose of submitting the case to the appropriate prosecutorial agency for criminal prosecution, as well as leaving this case administratively open to allow the board and board staff to take any other necessary actions.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Is there a second to the motion, please?
I'll second.
Ms. Denke, thank you. All those in favor of the motion for P22010, P23002. Please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Thank you. Does that take care of it, Ms. Ray?
It does. As always, it's a pleasure, gentlemen.
Thanks for your assistance. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Hargraves.
Hey, have a good day.
Thank you. Okay, we have Kurt. I don't see anybody calling in for any of the enforcement 7As.
I believe we have one for 7A6. We might also have one for 7A3.
I'm sorry, yeah, 7A3 is C. Okay.
For 7C as well.
For the 7As, okay, 7C, yeah. So we can do the 7As except 7A3.
And 6. Sorry, 7A3, 7A6. We potentially have people on the phone.
Okay, let's start with 7A3 then.
Ms. Campion, are you on the phone?
Yeah, if she wanted to call in, please.
She's maybe muted here. If you're on. on the phone, star 6 on your phone to unmute yourself.
Well, let me do a synopsis of the complaint, and then maybe she will hear that and call in.
Yeah, star 6 to unmute yourself on a phone.
Okay, this is case number HI-22037. respondent is Nicholas Marksberry. The synopsis of the complaint on May 23rd, 2022. The board received a complaint alleging that respondent offered to practice home inspection services on respondent's firm's website without registration with the board. Board records indicate that respondent surrendered his certified home inspector registration to the board on January 25, 2022, and that respondent firm's registration with the board expired on April 10, 2022. It is further alleged that respondent represented himself as a certified home inspector on the respondent firm's website after his registration with the board was surrendered. Ms. Campion, are you online yet?
I still see her as muted.
Okay. Is there a... Let's go ahead and just do a quick... Can you give us a summary of the case, please?
I can, yes. So just to summarize it really quickly, we received a complaint from the alleger, Ms. Campion, that she was unhappy with the home inspection report that she received from respondent that took place in April of 2021. While initially reviewing this complaint, we did determine that the respondent in this case had previously voluntarily surrendered his home inspection license in January of 2022 and that we no longer had jurisdiction over his home inspection practices. However, while kind of looking into this initial complaint, we did discover that his former firm's website was still advertising his home inspection practices on the website. And so we had decided to pursue an investigation into non-registered practice and or advertising. During the course of the investigation, it was discovered that the respondent had sold his firm in June of 2021 and that he had not completed any additional home inspections since June of 2021, and that as no longer having ownership over the company, he did not have control over the website to remove that information. During the course of the investigation, I was able to confirm that sales and the information has since been removed from the website.
Thank you. And because he is no longer a registrant, our jurisdiction and ability to act on this is no longer available to us. So that was a staff recommendation and reason for the dismissal. I think that's correct. So Ms. Campion, are you on yet by chance?
Star 6 to unmute yourself.
Okay, well, we need to proceed. We have a recommendation from staff to dismiss this case because the registrant is no longer registered with the board. So our hands are tied in this case. So I'd like to entertain a motion to accept staff recommendation for dismissal.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Ms. Tanke. Is there a second?
A second.
We have a first and motion for first and second for to dismiss HI-22-037. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Crawford. I'm sorry, you're here for a particular case?
Accepted.
Okay. Let's do 7A6. Kurt, there's someone else online.
It's for Trinity Shelton.
This is item 7A6. Case number is P22-047. The synopsis of this complaint: on February the 8th, 2022, the board received a complaint alleging that respondent prepared and sealed structural engineering plans and calculations for a steel shell related to the Lee Commercial Building project at 721 Sheldon Street in Prescott, Arizona, which included inaccurate missing code references and special inspection requirements on front page, missing members on framing plans, inaccurate dimensions on plans, elevation section views that did not match plan views, and incorrectly keyed the noted details. Kurt, is it the alleger or respondent online?
That's the alleger.
Okay. And
say she just signed on, so she's not on the list, but it's for Trinity Shelton.
Okay.
I'm online. Can you hear me?
Ah, great. Yes, thank you for calling in. Michelle, you're the alleger. Can you give us a brief position on your position on this case?
Yes, sir. Thank you for hearing me out. So I was the architect hired to assist an owner in the production of construction documents for a new commercial building, 1,500 square foot, to be used as a beauty salon in the downtown Prescott area. I was told by the owner that he was hiring a fabricator that was providing the structural designs, which he did do. Because of the arrangement of this situation, I'm working directly for the owner, as is the fabricator and the structural engineer for him. In that case, which is relatively new to me, I have little to no control over what was being provided structurally, although I did make very thorough effort to get in touch with the structural engineer. And we communicated on a few occasions quite pleasantly, honestly. It was only after multiple requests to him that were returned without thorough responses were made that I determined, and also it involved an additional structural engineer who I spoke with, a friend of mine, a colleague, talked to him about what had been occurring. He recommended I make a report to the board, which I then did, and your description of what we found was outstanding was in fact what we have still found is outstanding. I will say, since the engineer got word that his case was going to be dismissed, he did make some corrections to the required structural plans. He still has not managed to make corrections to dimensions, all code requirement notes. There's still quite a bit outstanding. So my goal wasn't really to get anybody in trouble, but just to have somebody help me determine if this was a person who was either unwilling or unable to assist in the accuracy of these structural plans, because it will make, you know, make or break the project whether or not things are done correctly on site. As far as finishes and all those things go, and anybody who's looked at a full set of fabrication plans for a structural steel building and then took a look at this set would realize that this is significantly less information being provided by the structural than in most cases. We've made up the difference as much as we can as an architectural firm, but we cannot take on the structural requirements. So that's where we stand.
Thank you for sharing that. There was an EAC, or there was not an EAC meeting?
There was not.
Michelle, are you familiar with, did she give us the copies of the EAC, the case assessments? Were those made available?
No, and they are not.
Okay.
To the electric during the course of investigation, but only the respondent, which did not.
Michelle, on this, this case was given to two EAC members, the Enforcement Advisory Committee members, who are structural engineers, and both of them reviewed the documents and said there was no problem with the documentation as submitted. So that's why the staff is giving a current recommendation to dismiss the case. I'm going to let Mr. Ream kind of share the position for staff and the results of staff's research on this. Mr. Ream?
Well, frankly, this is a structural engineering case that I simply had to rely upon our two structural engineers that are EAC members, and both of them independently and separately evaluated what was furnished to them, and that was everything that we received from Ms. Shelton as well as from the respondent himself. And both EAC members came to the same conclusion with respect to not identifying a specific skill or knowledge issue. And frankly, there isn't much more to this case other than that. Once I received that, that's what prompted the recommendation for EAC.
Okay. Any discussion by the board on this? Ms. Shelton, what's the status of the project right now? The plan's been submitted for permit?
Yes, they have been resubmitted for permitting with my corrections, the structural engineers' partial corrections, and all other professionals have been compiled and resubmitted to the City of Prescott for review.
Okay. You know, in this case, board members, we rely on the experience of our EAC members to give us guidance on issues like this, and they've reviewed the plans and found no technical problems with the documentation. So at this point, there's a recommendation for dismissal, and I guess I'm not hearing anything yet that would change my opinion of accepting staff recommendation. Has the permit been approved? The structural plans have been approved at this point? Ms. Shelton?
Apologies. What was the question?
Have the plans been approved?
No, they have not yet been approved.
Still
They've
approved,
only
yeah.
been turned back in for,
okay.
For review, for a couple of days. I do know that based on my own review, that not all items that were outstanding were addressed. And I do want to just clarify that I am thankful that somebody was able to, that two engineers were able to overlook the process and the plans and let us know that it is not a technical inability. So thankfully, it's not an unable situation. I'm not really pressing for it to be reopened or anything. I just want you to know that.
Okay. All right, appreciate your input here. Thank you. So we have a recommendation from staff to dismiss this case. Can I get a motion to that effect, please?
I'll move for dismissal, to accept staff recommendation for dismissal.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Scott Sales. I'll second that.
Great. This is case P22-047. We have a recommendation and a motion for dismissal in a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Thank you. Ms. Shelton, thanks for calling in. Appreciate your interest here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's do a motion on the balance of the 7A items. That would be 7A, 1, 2, 4, 5. For dismissal. Can I get a motion?
Mr. Chair, this is Scott Sales. I motion to dismiss 7A 1, 2, 4, and 5. That includes P22-077, HI22-040, P22-079, and P22-067.
Great. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Stanky. All those in favor of dispensing these cases, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, since we have an attendee for 7C1, I'd like to jump to that one. find it here. There it is. Okay, this is case number P22044. The synopsis of this complaint. On January the 6th, 2022, the board received a complaint that during 2020, respondent designed a drainage culvert for client's property. Excuse me, we need to take a break.
Oh. We don't.
Yeah, we lost quorum for a minute or two. Okay. We'll take a break while Mr. Medgood takes care of some phone calls. Appreciate you coming in. We're just one of those momentary things.
Just for the record, Mr. Nesgood had left the room. We're going to take a quick break, waiting for him to come back, as we had lost our quorum. Thank you. All right. We are now back in session. We are now recording. It is 10:48, and we have our quorum. Dr. Campbell, you're on the phone still?
I am.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to start this item 7-1 over again. This is case number P22-044. The synopsis is that on January the 6th, 2022, the board received a complaint that during 2020, respondent designed a drainage culvert for a client's property located at 1025 Verde Valley School Road in Sedona, Arizona, that failed to sufficiently drain water from the client's property, causing damage to the client's property and flooding neighboring properties. Okay, we have, can you identify yourself, please?
Yeah, I'm Edwin Brown. I'm the property owner of the property that was damaged. The property on either side of the culvert that was damaged also.
Okay, thank you for coming in. There's been quite a bit of investigation on this. I think there is a consent agreement in place that's been signed by Mr. Sefton, the civil engineer. And that, let me get down to my consent agreement. In the consent agreement, it calls for a letter of reprimand against, will be on his file for the this action. There is a state suspension of probation for 6 months. As long as he stays in compliance with the order here, then his registration stays in place. There is a restitution requirement in the amount of $5,750. I believe that goes back to yourself, Mr. Brown. There's an administrative penalty of $1,000, cost of investigation of $880, and of course the requirement to pay all loss. So that is the consent agreement recommended by staff, and he assigned that, agreed to that. So I understand there was obviously some damage. The culvert was undersized, and he has admitted some responsibility for that. Do you want to share anything else with the board on this?
The only thing, anything else was time and money that was spent in repair. I have up to $7,000 that we had to spend on top of his fee to make an additional overflow drainage ditch to the property. So basically, we're stuck with the same thing we started with, a ditch to the property. It's not as deep or as extensive, but nonetheless, it's still there.
Right. Unfortunately, this board can't really address any civil complaints like that.
Right.
We are strictly addressing his performance.
Okay.
And there was some problems there, and he has been cited for that. But that's as far as we can go.
Right, I understand it.
So I appreciate you coming in. Is there anything else I can add to this?
No, I appreciate all your efforts on
it. Mr. Ream, do you want to add anything to this?
Frankly, Mr. Chair, you summarized everything as well as you possibly could. I wish I could add something, but frankly, you've covered it all. Frankly, it's set forth, and I've explained everything to Mr. Brown, and so I think everybody understands everything well enough, so I think we're all good to go.
So, gosh, appreciate you came down from Sedona this morning.
Yeah, like I said, I appreciate everybody's efforts on all this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Let's get
Mr. Chair. No, we haven't stopped to do the motion.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chair, you mentioned that it was a signed agreement already?
It actually was signed from the time.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. I was just making sure there. Okay. All right.
Thank you for coming in. So there's a signed consent agreement in place, and we need to move to accept that signed consent agreement. So entertain a motion to that effect.
Mr. Chair, this is Scott Sales. So motion.
Okay. We have a motion to accept the signed consent agreement for case number P22-044. All those in favor, please say aye.
No, second.
I'm sorry, I thought there was a second. I'm jumping.
Okay.
I haven't even copied yet. So we have a motion and a second to accept the signed consent agreement. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. That's 7B. This is a case for a recommendation for letter of concern. There is no one in attendance for this, Kurt? I didn't see anybody.
I don't see anyone on the call on this.
So we can go ahead open this up for discussion. I don't know if there's any necessity to review the synopsis. Any board members have discussion about this particular complaint? If not, we can go right to a motion to accept staff recommendation for letter of concern.
We keep fighting over this thing.
Go ahead.
I'll move to accept the staff recommendation to issue a letter of concern for HI22-034.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Mr. Chair, this is Scott Sales. I'll second that motion.
Great. We have a first and a second. All those in favor of accepting staff recommendation for letter of concern, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, let's get to 7D. We'll start with 7D1. Okay. We have no one in attendance on this, Kurt.
So, I see that Mr.
Zeman
is listed on here. He may call and says, but did not confirm. I do not see him on the list right now. We could try to give him a call. We did last month as well. If you would like me to do that.
Did he request to be called in?
It says here, respondent may call in, did not confirm.
He had mentioned over the phone that he would like to be here in person, but wasn't sure if he'd be able to. I did send him an email recently with the phone number and the virtual link to attend virtually. I have no idea if he has done so or not.
Okay.
He didn't respond to the email?
No, ma'am. He'd been able to get a hold of him on the phone, but nothing emailed.
Yeah, and if the board recalls, this is here last month. This gentleman is a surveyor, and through some medical difficulties, he's having trouble coming up with payments.
For a consent agreement that he signed.
There is a signed consent agreement from, gosh, a year ago. I forget the date.
September 21.
So it's about a $500 complaint, and we had asked staff the last session to see if he can make contact and if we could discuss some kind of a payment program. I think at this point, I don't really want to modify the consent agreement because at least we have something signed by him. Historically, when we have these lapsed registrations, there's always been a fine imposed. This is pretty minor. I don't want to add to his medical problems or his inability to pay, but I think I'd rather at this point see if we could modify the payment, offer a payment program and give him some time. Keep the consent agreement in place and see if we can modify with a letter asking him to just commit to some kind of a payment schedule.
And Mr. Chair,
I apologize. Would it be okay if we try to give him a call? I think for the record, it would just be better if we
sure.
And Mr. Chair, I think I believe we a letter was sent to him around July 15th. I believe the content. Oh, does that finish up? Matt. magic from over there to over here?
I got a meeting with the paper. I'm supposed to mute my phone.
Is this Mr. Zimite? Zimite?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
This is Kurt Winter, Deputy Director at the Board of Technical Registration here at the board meeting. Are you available to speak?
A little bit. Not very much, but yeah.
Okay. Well,
a little bit.
We're discussing your matter today, so the board is now in discussion of that. So if you want, you can listen in, and they may have questions for you, okay?
All right.
Mr. Zimite, this is Jack Gilmore. I'm the chairman of the board. And you've acknowledged that there is a signed consent agreement in place regarding your last registration. And we're trying to work with you to figure out an easiest way possible to resolve the fine on the penalty. Right now you're in breach of your consent agreement. So we're going to ask that you consider some kind of a payment program to the board, and we can give you some extra time, but I guess I'm hoping you can commit to the ability to pay the fine.
I guess I don't understand why. I still don't understand how I got suckered into paying a fine, but anyway, I guess I should have to see some in here. Just a minute. Can you hold for just 10 seconds?
Okay.
Two, can you come in here? Important. Okay, I don't know if she heard me or not. I got out of the other room because it was too noisy.
Okay. Well, can we request if we give you another 9 months?
I need your mother. Oh. Okay. I'm sorry. Can you repeat yourself? I'm sorry. I was on.
Yeah, we have a signed consent agreement in place that you've already signed and committed to and agreed to pay a total fine of $515. And we're just asking for payments to be made that will resolve the fine. And we can give you more time, but we can't really void out the consent agreement at this time to be consistent and fair with all the other actions we have taken. So if we gave you 9 months to 12 months to pay this, would that be acceptable?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure we could probably work that out, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all we're asking.
All right. Okay. I'll tell Sue. Are you going to send me something about this, or do we have to send in money every so often?
Well, we'll issue a letter.
Sorry. Yes, Mr. Chair, what the board would be able to do would be to have a motion and a second to extend the period for payment to be required under the existing consent agreement.
Yeah.
And then the board would be able to send a letter out to a notifying of the time period. The board wouldn't be able to set up any specific payment plan because that would require a separate consent agreement, but you could do something
for
an extended period of time.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm getting the hospital bills. I can't pay from that. I haven't been working very much for that. Blue Cross really messed me up in that they paid for all my hospital and everything for 6 months and then decided they didn't want to pay for it for 6 months and took it all back. So I've got like $70,000 in medical bills in 6 months that I don't, and I'm not working.
Yeah.
So that's why I can't, that $500 one goes down towards the bottom of a pile there.
Mr. Zimite, we'd like to help you out, and we would like to give you additional time. We're not asking for a monthly payment, but we're just going to give you, say, 1 year. That keeps the signed consent agreement in place. We can issue you a letter that reviews this and asking for payment within 12 months. And if it's not complete in 12 months, then we'll need to go to a hearing and there'll be more penalties. So I guess it'll be my hope that you can take care of this within within the next 12 months.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. That's what we're going to do. Okay.
That would need to be in the form of a motion in a second. And additionally, for clarity, that would be 12 months from today's date and not 12 months from the date that the payments were due under the consent agreement in which he's already in default, correct?
Yeah. Mr. Zima, just for a quick summary, we're going to give you 12 months from today's date. So July the 26th of 2023, we would hope that this penalty can be resolved. And so you'll be receiving a letter from the board that reviews this. Any last questions?
No, I don't think so. I think they're giving us 12 months to pay that $500, or they're going to do another hearings and another set of fines and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 12 months to the $500. Is that something I can pay online?
This is Kurt Winter, Deputy Director. Yes, it is. We do accept credit card.
Your investigator will get a hold of you later today.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Okay.
We can do that after the call. Yeah. All right. I appreciate your consideration on this. And staff will be getting in touch with you later today, and a letter will be coming out reviewing all this.
Thank you. And I appreciate the call, and thank you for reaching out.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. I think we have an understanding. We need a motion.
Yes. Mr. Chair.
So just as a technical point, the motion is for a letter, because we're not amending the consent order, correct?
The motion would be to extend the period of time for timely payment under the consent agreement to be a year from today's date. Board staff can send a letter notifying them of that, but it would simply be to extend the date for timely payment to a year from today's date.
Then, unless there's more discussion, then I would move to extend the period of time for timely payment to be 12 months from the date, from today's date, 12 months from today, to repay the current outstanding amount under the consent agreement, which is $515.
Correct. Okay, we have a motion. I need a second, please.
I'll second that.
Great. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion to extend this payment 12 months, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question of the board, if you don't mind?
Certainly.
This case involves two separate cases, the original one that the consent agreement stemmed from, and then a secondary case to address the issue of him being out of compliance. Just for my own clarity, are we administratively closing the second one and addressing the first one with the extended time period? Because that's the one that the consent agreement is attached to.
Probably the cleanest way administratively, now that the time period has been extended, there's technically no violation in the underlying case. This can be put on the consent agenda for next month for dismissal.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Donald.
Mr. Chair, on I know that there was a letter that was sent out around July 15th. Do we need to rescind anything on that, or administratively? Because we'd sent last month we had mentioned sending him a letter, explaining, requesting money and that kind of stuff because we couldn't reach him. Do we need to do anything with that letter or action thereof? Just say that.
Was the letter sent last month?
We sent a number of emails. We did not send a formal letter.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So just maybe direction to the staff then to update him on, or the investigator update him on the motion that we've had today.
Oh, absolutely. And that can be taken care of in the letter that goes out to him notifying him of the extension of time. Okay. This would supersede any
previous thing.
Yeah, sorry. My apologies. I saw you mixed up email with letter, so. Never mind the letter.
I guess my question for clarity is that the formal letter that we're going to send out match to the more recent case or the original case?
To the original.
Okay.
Because
yeah, that's the one we took back.
Right.
Yeah.
The newest case would come back next month for dismissal. Correct.
Okay. Makes sense. I appreciate it.
Okay, last item is 7D2. And I need to recuse myself from this one. So I'll ask Mr.
Doing a quick count.
In that case, we lose quorum.
That's right. So we have no one else.
It would have to pen this one until next month then.
I don't think any other board members have jumped on since we started this meeting. I don't see anybody.
But I think we have Ms. Mills.
Ms. Mills is on the phone. I see her.
We'll have to continue.
Okay, so just for the record, this is Kurt Winter, Deputy Director. We currently have 6 of our 11 members, but because our chair is recusing himself, we dropped below the quorum requirements and therefore cannot continue discussion of this matter.
At this time.
Yes, so did. Staff, you'll send out notification, obviously, to Ms. Mills.
She is on the phone. We can't discuss anything.
Right.
Greg, you can reach out and make sure.
Yeah, I'll do that because I'm concerned. I really want her to know what's happening, so I'm not sure that she does. So I'll make sure I do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I'm here on the phone. Did you? I heard that you were postponing it, right?
The board has lost quorum, so legally we're not allowed to discuss it until we have a quorum of board members who are able to consider the matter. So we have to append it to the next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you for being on the call, Ms. Mills. We apologize for the situation.
All right, that takes care of all the enforcement items. We can move on to the director's report.
Why, thank you, Mr. Foreman.
Get all the good stuff now.
Everybody just take a deep breath now and have fun with the numbers, right? So we just ended our fiscal year and we're now into fiscal year 23. It's always a little bit of a stressful time getting towards the end of the fiscal year budget, making sure everything matches, and then approaching the rather voluminous task that awaits Kurt and I of preparing the next fiscal year budget for submittal to the governor's office. We're just so excited about that. So hopefully by next board meeting we can give you a little bit more detail on what's going on there, along with any justifications that we feel like may need to be a part of that budget package. But we ended this past fiscal year budget well and in the black, which is most important because we did have a lot of unforeseen expenses, and we have added a lot of staff. Not a lot of staff, but we filled some of the vacancies that have been open for quite a while. And then increase some salaries in an effort to keep a hold of some staff because we were losing people left and right for better opportunities. And that really takes its toll because it takes, whether it's Julian licensing or Lane in enforcement, whatever, it takes a long time to train somebody and get them up to speed and ready to really be, you know, productive and feel good about what they're doing, have that foundational knowledge. So hopefully we'll be able to hang on to some people. Our digitization project is still going well. Oh, yay! It's doing well. And we were granted an extension. So you remember their microfiche equipment died and they couldn't get replacement parts. And we just couldn't get over that last hurdle of finishing the last bit of that project. So they finally obtained the equipment, but then now we were crossing into the fiscal year, and the way it works is to pay out of that fiscal budget, whatever, like if you order a chair, it has to be delivered. before June 30th or whatever has to be done by then. So we had to ask for special justification to extend the funding, Carrie. And so they gave us till the end of August, and Kurt has been diligent following up with ICM on that and a few other issues. We're just, so we're, you know, I feel like a broken record going, hey, we're close. We're close. We're close. We're down to about a month. So,
you think it'll get done?
They said it will be. In the
yes.
That's a definite maybe, right?
Yeah.
I like your optimism.
They want that final payment. They got to wrap it up before the end of August.
It's a good incentive.
Yeah. Our online transition, that's still moving. The project investment justification, also known as the PIGE, is something else that we're waiting to hear back. Every time, you know, we submit it, it's this huge, I don't know how many pages long. We coordinate with several other agencies to get it all in place. And then just yesterday, I think, we got another bizarre document from some Homeland Security or something. And
just things, it just seems like as we're going through the process, others have gone through the process as well, but they kind of implement new things just right when we're doing what we're doing, and then we have more items that we need to check.
Literally
that
what they
have.
Said, because this latest document, right, this, Kurt was like, well, we know these other agencies that didn't have to complete this, and we're not really even sure how to complete it. And they said, oh, but now, we're doing this now. So, yeah, it's like they keep adding things. It's not that they, I know there's no entity in the state that doesn't want this project to happen. It's just,
in this particular bit is, we don't have an IT staff member. We contract with Asset. So this document that we just received is completely over the head of just about everybody in our agency.
Yeah.
Because it's just IT questions, networking questions, cybersecurity questions that we simply as board staff members can't answer.
And Kurt does a lot. He is our unofficial IT, and Hayden, honestly, both of them are amazing. So for Kurt to say this is way over our heads, that means a lot.
So we're going to have people reaching out to us to get it, but this again is slowing down a process in which that project was supposed to start July 12th, and we're still trying to get the okay just to use our money.
And because the agency is large and has multiple professions and things like that, our project is going to be a lot more extensive than, say, optometry or something. It's just one profession. So we really need to get that moving. We're trying. Little update on our board facilities. You're welcome to come down to the second floor if you want to see our boardroom. The walls are in place. It's painted. We received our board table, although it did not meet specifications. So myself and the director of the pharmacy board had words with that vendor, and they are in the process of rectifying that, and will be updated. The doors are on serious back order, so we may have a boardroom but have no doors. So we're already anticipating, like his pharmacy board that we're sharing with, right? Their next board meeting is October, and we're already talking about, what do we do? Should we like buy some curtains for the double doors and put huge signs saying "Shh, meeting in progress," so people coming out the elevator or something, and they're working on the elevators and it's very, very loud. I don't know. It's just going to be a fun adventure. And the technology, all the audio stuff is still back ordered. We're just sincerely hoping. They're saying maybe October. So just keep your fingers crossed that we keep, we'll just keep updating you on that. And then the Wi-Fi project, well, the building is getting like a whole cable refresh. There's hardly a day that I come in early in the morning, there's somebody hanging out of the ceiling on the ladder. There's cables going all over the place. And what are they called? Meraki's. I didn't know what that was either. But apparently we're getting 5 new ones just in our suite.
What's a Meraki?
It's a Wi-Fi booster.
When you look at the ceilings in your offices, there's usually just a square. Kind of looks like maybe one of these things right up here that boosts the Wi-Fi from that area. We currently have 2 in our office. And they're going to boost them up to 4 and make them 5G, so the coverage in our office will be much better. right now, like in my office, like I can't even take a phone call on my cell phone.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Wow.
So that's exciting. Working on that. Board staff, so we didn't actually have this in place, so we couldn't officially say it at the last board meeting, but Orlean is the new enforcement manager.
Yay.
Very excited about that.
I see Doug Berlin on the line.
Doug's on the line. Oh, he's listening to make sure you're doing it well. He's doing very well. We're very excited.
Doug wants to be online so we can roast Mr. Floyd out here. And we're getting a lounge downstairs, too. Yeah, got off too soon, buddy.
We did send out offer letters that were accepted for a new investigator, a new accounting, two specialists for operations, and a new licensing specialist for Julie. So all three managers are getting a new person. Kurt and I are running into issues with our home inspector project. We're still working on that, hoping to get
mock investigation as well as a mock application to one individual to see, have him return those to us to see if they're competent and so forth. So hoping good things.
So hoping that will, yeah. And so that we can hang on to who we have, mm-hmm. fill those last positions, and yeah. Board composition. I do know that the governor's office is actively working on the land surveyor position. So I don't think anybody's actively working on our public member vacancy. And so, say it again, just keep talking to all your friends, talk to everybody in the parking lot. Yes. we still need another person. I mean, look, we're barely at quorum today, so 11 members, we still have an issue. Okay. So I think that's pretty much my synopsis. Are there any questions on any of that information? We have our usual licensing and enforcement numbers. And Hayden, he just provides so much lovely data. It's just amazing. And I apologize because he created these wonderful enforcement numbers, all this research and graphs and everything. We should have included it last month, and we didn't. And so I just talked to Kurt before the meeting. I said, let's have Hayden update these, and we'll make sure to include it in your August board packet, just so you can see what's going on. But he's just doing a phenomenal job helping both Kurt and myself and helping prepare for upcoming conferences and things that I need to present at, or like Scott Sales and I are presenting at the civil engineering, I think, aren't we?
We're still waiting to put in the proposal for the presentation. We've got to wait to see if we were selected.
Okay. And that, you know, I kind of wondered if they would want us every year or every other year.
Just throw it in there and see what happens.
So maybe that the home inspectors asked me to come back this year. Anyway, those PowerPoints, you know, we update all the fun data and things like that to share with everybody. And it's also just useful for me to have, whenever I have the opportunity to speak to any senators or representatives or anything like that, in case anybody asks. It's good to have the numbers fresh in your mind. So I think that's it for me, Mr. Chairman, unless anybody wants to talk about anything else. Oh, we did put enforcement numbers. I apologize. There it is. I probably said that last month we should put the enforcement numbers, but we didn't give it to you in the packet. I'll make sure you have that in the packet next month. I probably could answer like basic questions if you have those. If you want more in-depth data, I'll give it to you next month.
Okay.
Okay. So, the best part of the meeting.
Please step forward, Mr. Boone.
You've never been on that side of the table, have you ever, Steve?
It's a scary place right here.
Today, though.
Mr. Noel, let the roast begin. Yeah, I think. Didn't he have the record for longest time on a board?
I think think Alejandro still keeps it.
Oh. I think it's still, yeah, it's very close.
You can get back on. Break the record.
If I need a couple months, right?
He sweet talked Bill into being here now, so.
There you go. Yeah, I like it.
That's pretty nice.
We are so appreciative of Mr. Noel's service.
You started when? 2014.
Wow. Steve, just hold on. We're going to get a pick.
Oh, good. Yeah, get a picture.
Which one? This could be you.
It's coming.
Side profile.
Next to one of the flags. Make it look really professional like there.
Get this other one in there.
Oh, yeah. The handshake
get the,
in
get
there.
The trash out of your hand. Oh.
And Hayden is also the unofficial photographer for the board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got a refreshment just for you.
Donuts.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you.
Bill brought him donuts.
Got it
today, too. You brought him last
week. Doing great.
Look what you got me into.
Just be careful going this trip.
any remarks for the rest of the board?
Any good luck or any best wishes?
Yeah.
It's an interesting board. It's fun. Learn a lot. I learned a lot, especially in those fields like land surveying and engineering that I don't know anything about. It was good. I'm not excited about the lawsuits and those things. That's all good. It went very fast.
Wow.
Extremely fast, yeah.
That's high praise. You just said it was fun and the time serving went fast.
Yeah.
Just catch that.
Yeah, right. Put that on the website for the next group.
Yeah, this record can be beaten, so.
Yeah.
Just in case.
And you're supposed to retire, but we shared a meeting, a project meeting last week.
Yeah, I've been trying to be retired for like 6 years. Hasn't happened yet. Maybe slow down in January, but we'll see.
Good. All right.
It's just too busy out there. Right?
I need to follow up. I had to get off that call, so I need to follow up with you.
Yeah. So Jack and I would meet once a month here, and he'd tell me about this one project we're working on down at I-8 and I-10, and we've been working on it for like 5 or 6 years. And he'd say, I talked to the guy. They're ready to go. Anytime now. He said that for like
3 years.
12. 3 years, yeah.
That's once a month.
Yeah. So I might be back. Who knows?
They called.
Yeah, see?
Money's coming.
It's in the mail, huh?
It's in the mail. It's coming.
That's the word of consulting.
Yeah, and of course, geologists have quite a challenge these next few years finding water.
Yeah.
Keep going. We need it.
I gotta get my little stick thing out.
Divining rod. Yeah.
Those work. I've seen them.
Really?
I've seen them.
They're out there. There's some people that do that.
You're gonna spend kind of scary, 20, 30 grand.
It does
150
work.
Bucks just because.
Yeah, fair point. At least a good Instagram pictures or something.
I don't think we covered that.
Well, Steven, bring it down.
Okay. Scott's just excited to tell us that he doesn't probably have anything to report on.
I'm an attorney. I could hit the ground running for the next half hour if you'd like, but realistically, nothing.
Like that.
Standing committee report. So as far as the legislation and rules committee, I think we need to have a meeting because. As I've had the opportunity recently to meet with a few representatives and Senator Gabaldon and talk about like our definition of engineering and the things that we've discussed as a board, the state of the discipline specific issues and things like that, I think that would probably be a good idea to go ahead and have an L&R meeting.
Hadn't Alejandro started working on that, new definitions?
Yes.
That didn't go anywhere, but I think he was working on it.
Oh, sorry. Who was?
Dr. Angel.
Oh, was he?
That's a good question. I haven't seen that work that has been done.
I don't know. You know, we could reach out to him and ask. Hayden started a fantastic spreadsheet for us comparing the 50 states, and I know I probably should, Scott's going to tell me I'm off topic. So, but we could bring that around next month and talk about some of that, some that we're looking at.
And I think that research should be very informative for the board to at least understand how different states approach how they define engineering, because that's obviously a big issue as a result of this Mills case.
Engineering, professional engineering, all of that. Plus, we need something in law to show that, you know, the criminal history issues, so we're not looking at DUIs from 30 years ago, things like that. Julie would do that. Some things like that. Some good cleanup and tweaking, let's say.
So the one thing on that, and this may be keeping on in line here, that we had discussed previously, and this may be actually just a suggestion for the topic for future board meetings. I don't want to lose sight of that issue we had with home inspectors also being the realtors.
Right. That is still a topic. Go ahead, Kirk.
Okay. I can maybe put it back with the home inspector committee.
Okay.
They are looking at rule changes now that the SOP is kind of waiting.
Okay.
But we have proposed rule changes, including adding a part where what they cannot do is act as a realtor or a broker
and a home inspector
in the same.
Okay.
If the transaction is going to get them money, they can't be doing both.
Got it.
Better language than what I just said. But
And, we're going to wait to get a surveyor on board before we bring that issue of construction staking bagging back?
Yes. Okay. Since we found ourselves without a land surveyor this month, I asked Jack and I think Scott if they felt that would be appropriate to bump it one more month so that we could have a land surveyor board member. We do have two very veteran land surveyors. Well, one of them was a previous board member. Thank you, Jason Boos, who's he'll appear telephonically, and Mike Fondren will come in and address construction staking.
Great.
Talk about that.
Future agenda item, just for the record.
Future agenda item. That's number 15. Future agenda item. Yeah. and we do have a date for the next home inspector meeting coming up here, and we'll figure out a date for the LNR. And who is serving? Who's our
on the home inspector?
The LNR.
Mr. Glicka, Michael.
The LNR committee does not have anybody
have
who's
any
currently
board?
From the board member. It's all previous board members. So.
Oh. Michael Klick is on one of these, isn't he?
He's on the home inspector.
Oh, okay.
Along with Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, so Ed Marley is the chairman of the LNR committee. Alejandro is on the LNR committee. I mean, it's got good people.
And Leroy Brady.
Oh, good. So.
Okay. I just assume there's board number two. Well, yeah, that's a lot of former board members, so he's very knowledgeable. Okay, so let's see, association report. There's not too much going on yet, but real quick. ASBOG, their annual meeting's coming up in October. They're the last of the associations in the lineup of annual meetings, and Bill's still looking at his schedule, fingers crossed that he can attend that.
What's the date again?
I didn't write that one down, but I can forward you the email again. I can tell you, it's October, one sec. It's October 25th is the annual meeting, and the 26th is also part of the conference that they would hope you would go to as the geologist, because that's their outside thing that they do. You'd have to ask Steve about that. He knows more about the field trips with ASVAC. But I definitely cannot attend that because I'm going to come home. Well, because the 27th of October is the civil engineering conference, if we're speaking. I guess if we're not speaking, then I can stay another day. So, hey, it's all up in the air right now. but those are the dates, definitely, Bill. October 25th and 26th. And it's in North Carolina, so you probably have to fly out on Monday. And we can help with those arrangements. Let's see, then we have CLARB for the landscape architects. And Jack and I talked about this just briefly yesterday. There's a regional meeting coming up on August 10th in preparation for their annual meeting in Nebraska. September 20, 21, 22, somewhere right in there. And they are still talking about the LARE updates and their next fiscal budget, scope of work. They'll have, even at the regional meetings, the regional meetings are good for all of these associations because it's really interesting what you see in different regions, and typically our region, the Western region, is usually more proactive, or inclined to be excited about different paths to licensure, and a little bit more progressive in the thinking, I think, than East Coast. I hate to stereotype, but. Seems to be that way.
It is, yeah, I think it is.
Anything else on CLARB, Jack? Okay.
No.
Our Architects Association in CARB, people were asking when are we going to receive the state-specific data for that huge analysis of practice study that they put out. They did receive input from over 19,000 people for that analysis of practice study. And they said since it's such a large amount of data to analyze, it's gonna take a significant amount of time to process it and filter it out. But eventually we will get some state-specific information on that, and that'll be something good to look forward to. The Engineering Association, NCWS, annual meeting is right on top of our August board meeting, so Scott Sales and I will attend the board meeting and go straight to the airport. So we'll show up with a suitcase that day. That's in Carlsbad, thank goodness, and not, you know, Maine or something.
That'd be fun too. Just take a little longer to get there.
Yeah. We're gonna be flying all night. Julie actually attended the State of the Council meeting for us at the board on July 13th. That was conducted by the CEO, David Cox. And from Julie's notes, I thought it was fascinating. There's currently over 500 people scheduled to attend, representing 68 different boards to attend the annual meeting. So I didn't get to attend the annual meeting last year because it all got canceled. It was the one that was supposed to be in New Orleans. And I mean, they didn't even like go virtual. They just canceled the whole thing because the COVID numbers were going nuts. So I'm really excited to do that. And I actually recognize some of the faces now of people that cross over boards, and looking forward to that. They discussed a lot of the conference reports and action items that are going to come up at the annual meeting. And the Western Zone, again, it's interesting because a lot of the things that are proposed, the board will consent accept to with those motions, but this is one the Western Zone wanted, again, an easier path to licensure that was licensed in another jurisdiction for 10 years, no discipline in the last five, reciprocity, whatever, but the board said they did not support that motion as it was recommended by the Western Zone. I don't know if I'm giving you too much information or not. It's interesting to me because I think it was a good idea. Their rationale was the Western Zone believes that proposed changes to existing legislature Well, basically, they're just saying it would be easier for the registrants moving from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, and I agree with that. So they wanted the model law changed, which, of course, doesn't actually affect us unless, you know, we get our own laws changed, to include those things that I just mentioned. So we'll see. I'm sure it will probably be up for more discussion. Anyway, that's all I really have, unless, Scott, did you have anything else to add for NCs?
Nope, you hit all the information, took all the info, and threw it out there. But yeah, no, looking forward to that meeting. And they're, I think, on around August 10th, they also sent me out a thing for a new board member NCES kind of meeting virtually. So I'll be attending that. I thought it was over the same time as conference, and I'm like, oh no, it's weeks apart. Because I know they have on that Tuesday, the 23rd, they have a new board member thing for most of Tuesday. So I'll be attending that. And then the conference, I think, really starts Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday or whatever it is. But that's why they wanted me out there a day earlier. So.
Oh, okay.
I think there's still stuff going on that day, but it's jam-packed. That's all I know. There's things all day.
They sent that to me, too, because I didn't get to go last year. So technically, I'm still new, too, because, I think I'm in the same thing. We'll just be buddies for a few days. So.
Yep. New people here. We'll have a special hat.
Yeah. Oh. So, I think that's it. So, in a future agenda, besides the construction staking, is we still have the presentation set in September. Sorry, not August, but September for the interior design.
Oh, great.
Tom and, forgive me, I forgot the other guy's name. So we'll just leave that on as future.
And that one is, are they from the Society of Interior Designers?
They are from CIDQ, which is, Council. I'm going to mess it up. These acronyms. Oh.
Yeah, there's two main interior design associations. My wife used to work for the American Society of Interior Designers.
Oh, well, she should tune in to our September meeting.
I'm sure she'll be riveted.
And that's for recognition as a separate profession?
Yes, Arizona doesn't currently recognize that or have any certification, and they would like to present, and I said, I'm sure the board would love to hear your presentation.
Great.
Well, I have an item, I don't know if it goes on the future agenda or maybe the meetings, just to make sure we're not breaking any of the open meeting rules and stuff for the, since there's going to be a large ACEC Roads and Streets conference in September. I don't know how many board members, because it lapses over a couple different realms of landscape architecture, geology, and the other things. So I know I'll be present there at the end of September, but I don't know if there's going to be an issue there.
So,
will it be agendized for discussion, or if maybe something that you could email board staff about, and then they could independently touch base?
I will send an email to you.
We can talk about that. That'd be great. Thank you.
Don't want to break any rules.
Scott.
Yep.
Thank you both.
Okay, that's it.
Good.
All right, I think we're done. Our next hearing will be August 22nd. Will that be downstairs?
Maybe.
Big maybe.
Stay tuned.
That's on Monday.
It is a Monday because of the NCWS conference. So thank you. Thank you for saying that. It is a Monday, so. Yep. Make sure you mark your calendars.
Great.
Monday the 22nd, August 22nd.
Okay, I think.
Because you're at accountancy, we'll have a different age. Yeah.
Oh, we're done? We are adjourned. Thank you.
Recording stopped.
I can look at some further, but I think I got